Okay, so this is the section, the chapter. The whole chapter is divided into six sections. So the 8.1 to 8.4 is the first section. And there Arjuna is asking questions and Krishna is answering. 8.5 to 8.8 is going back to Godhead, remembering Krishna. And 8.9 to 8.13 is remembering Krishna. 8.14 to 8.16 is pure devotional service. 8.17 to 22 is comparing the material and spiritual worlds. 23 to 28, the supremacy of devotional service.
No, I think page down.
Where is the page? Page up, page down. Oops.
It's fine, Prabhu.
Oh, it did.
So the first section is Arjuna asking questions and Krishna answering. Okay. So in the end of the previous chapter, Lord introduced actually some terms, and Krishna was not sure of those terms, what they meant. So in the beginning of this chapter, we see Arjuna beginning the chapter asking those questions and asking for some clarifications. So we'll first see these questions, and the answers are dealt in 1 to 4 and the 5th, so 1 to 5 on generally. So verses 1 to 5. So the questions which Arjuna asks are 8 questions. And so these are the questions. And couple of things to note here is he addresses Krishna as Purushottama, is a supreme person. So he acknowledges that he's Lord Krishna is the supreme person, and he also addresses him as Madhusudana, the slayer of demons. And here in this case, he has doubts in his mind, and he wants the answers from Krishna, and he wants those he can slay those doubts. That's what to say. He can get rid of those doubts. So the question one is, what is Brahman and what is Adhyatman? What is Karma and what is Adibhutam? What is Adidevam? What is Adiyanya? How does he live in the body? And the 8th question is, how can those engaged in devotional services know Krishna at the time of death? And here Lord Krishna answers all these questions. The first question was Brahman. What is Brahman? So the indestructible, eternally existing, transcendental living being, living entity, is called the Brahman. And that is different from Parabrahman. Parabrahman is the supreme personality of Godhead. And Adhyatman is the self, the eternal nature of living entities. This is the soul. And karma are the fruitive activities performed by all the living entities. Adibhutam is the material manifestation that is constantly changing, all the material things which is always changing. Adidevam is the universal form of the Lord that includes all other demigods, everything inclusive. Adiyanya is the super soul. And how does he live in the body? He lives in the heart of every embodied being. And Lord Krishna here answers these first 7 questions in the first 4 verses. And he takes the whole chapter to answer the question number 8, which tells us that is the most important question. And 8.5 to 8.8, this section tells us how to go back to Godhead, remembering Krishna.
Increase the font, zoom in.
Make it plus, a little more. Yeah. And remove the top down.
You make it a little bigger.
That's what we did.
You want to make it bigger?
Yeah.
This is okay, right? Mm. Okay, that's fine. And then we will talk.
Yeah, just
for the other.
Just give it one.
This is my fingers bigger.
And you can just help you.
It's okay. It's fine. I just am not able to hear this. It's too small. I'll just go to, I don't need the notes. It's fine. I don't need the notes. Just go to them. I cannot read that. So just go to, I don't need the notes. It's fine. It's fine. Okay. Okay. So at the the eighth question was how we can a person who is devoted to Lord Krishna, who is in the path of Krishna consciousness, can remember the Lord at the time of the death. So he says, he who remembers Krishna at the time of death will not be born again and come back to this material world. So here Krishna emphasizes the importance of Krishna consciousness. And remembering Krishna at the time of death is not, just at the time of death is not very easy. For that we need practice. Because here we are not able to remember Krishna, even here when we have everything, we are not able to remember him. So how can we remember him at the time of death? So he says what we can do to remember him at the time of death, we have to practice now, and what kind of practices we can do here. So some of the things he mentioned are, we can constantly practice Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And when we practice Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we are constantly thinking of the Lord. And even so, even at the time of death, we'll be able to remember him without difficulty. Because at the time of death, the whole thing is what happened in this life, everything will be going as a reel. And if we don't have that one pointed attention to the Lord Krishna, we'll just get swayed by whatever things come there and we'll get stuck, and that's what we'll be reaping the next janma. Because whatever one remembers at the time of death, that's what they experience in the next life. For example, Bharata Muni, he thought of deer. He was very pious the whole time, but toward the end he thought of a deer chasing him, and he got attracted to the deer, right? Everybody knows the story.
Is this Bharata Muni? Is it Muni or
Maharaj? Maharaj. So at the time of death, he thought about deer, so he was reborn as a deer. And Krishna also tells Arjuna to do his duty all the time and remember him, do his duty, is whatever is his duty, and remember Krishna all the time, and have your senses engaged in Krishna's service all the time. And some of the way we can engage our senses are chanting the mantras, hearing bhajans, hearing about Krishna Katha, and going to the temple, looking at his lotus feet. And so here the example given is, whatever we think of all the time, and we become that. So we think of the Lord, we attain his feet. So that is
so Mataji, we talk about this during the whole class, we have talked about this, right? What you think of at the time of death, that's what you become. It's only in chapter 8 where it is clearly spelled out. Or is it spelled out in other parts of the Gita?
Yeah, mainly 8. That's why it's called Attaining the Supreme.
And this section is about remembering Krishna. So we can remember Krishna in some of the ways here, the way we can meditate on him is, know Krishna to be Kavi. And Kavi is one who knows everything. He knows the past, present and future. And he is the oldest. is the origin of everything. Everything is born out of him, and he is the supreme controller of the universe, and he is the smaller than the smallest. He is in our heart as smaller than the smallest, as a super soul, and maintainer of all planetary systems, and beyond all, he is beyond all material conception. He is inconceivable. And is always a person, because meditating on something impersonal or void is very difficult. He is always a person, is a person. And and he is luminous like the sun, is transcendental beyond material nature. So these are some of the ways we can meditate on the Lord. And here Krishna introduces Yoga Mishra Bhakti. He introduces Yoga Mishra Bhakti just also in a way to give us a contrast between Yoga Mishra Bhakti, Yoga Bhakti, and also the Bhakti Yoga, the Krishna consciousness. And by seeing this contrast, he wants to show that in this world of Kali Yuga, in this world, it's not easy to do the other kind of yoga, all the other yogas. And so Bhakti Yoga, the Krishna consciousness, is the perfect way for this Kali Yuga. So he introduces Yoga Mishra Bhakti here, and he says, for the person to attain the Lord, a yogi should raise the life force between the eyes, between the eyebrows. He should practice the Sat Chakra Yoga. And he is, the yogis are learned in Vedas. They are uttering Omkara, and they have to renunciate, and they have to practice celibacy. And that's when they'll enter into Brahman, and that's the philosophy of the impersonalist. And yogis have to detach from sensual engagements, and think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this will take them to the spiritual planets if it is successfully done.
Mataji, we discussed about Omkara. You said something that, you know, you have to remember, think Omkara, Om as Krishna, right? What was that? Can you just give
me? Yeah, basically we had a question, even though it's impersonal meditation,
right,
how can they attain the supreme,
yeah,
spiritual planets, right?
Yeah.
So in the Purport, Prabhupada says, if you meditate with the personalist conception, that, you know, God is a person, then you'll attain spiritual planet, otherwise you'll attain impersonal Brahmajyoti, because that's also spiritual.
Right. So how do you do that? Like, why, how can you do that by uttering Omkara?
No, basically you understand Om is a name of Krishna, but you don't deny Krishna as a form, but you're just attracted to this Om vibration.
Okay.
Om is the impersonal sound vibration of Krishna.
Okay.
So that's why it says Hare Krishna contains Om, right? That's what
right.
Prabhupada says.
Yeah.
So you can attend, you can utter Om, but your conception is God is person. But still, somehow I like uttering Om, let's say. You know, some people like to utter Ram, right? They
yeah.
don't like Krishna or something.
Right.
So
yeah.
your personal choice.
Yeah.
But then your mood is like, I know he's a person, but I want to approach him like this.
Okay.
So then he takes the intent, right? What is your intent? So then he will go to the spiritual path.
So here we see the contrast. The Bhakti Yogis who practice Krishna consciousness, they do not have to practice any of the things what we mentioned before. All the yoga practices he doesn't have to do. He practices unalloyed devotion, remembering and serving the Lord all the time, chanting the holy name of the Lord. And Bhakti Yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world. A true Bhakti Yogi never return
well,
to this
if
one.
You go to the spiritual planets, you could, right?
Impersonal Brahmajyoti?
So only he who attains the abode of Supreme Personality of Godhead does not return. All the other planets, the material world, are places of misery where the cycle of birth and death occurs. So the we can see the Lord, we can express our love in the form of this five primary ways. Practice Bhakti Yoga as a Shanta Bhakta, which is a neutral form of love, as a Dasya Bhakta, as a servant to the Lord, as a Sakya, as a friendship, as a friend, and Vatsalya Bhakti, as a parental love and Madhurya Bhakti as a conjugal love. So in any of these forms, the devotee worships the love. So this section talks about comparing the material and the spiritual world. In the material world, this is cyclical, and the cyclical creation and this annihilation. All material entities get manifested at the beginning of Brahma's day, that's a kalpa. 1000 cycles of four yugas, Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga and Kali Yuga. So in the daytime it's manifested, and in the night of Brahma, all are merged into unmanifested again.
One question, Patati, we talked that Dwapara Yuga normally comes before Treta Yuga, right? Except for this particular yuga. And why was that?
Because this time the original Swayam Bhagavan Krishna was appearing in Dwapara. That's why there was some adjustment.
So this is Krishna's, this is the spiritual world, abode beyond manifest and unmanifest. The supreme abode of the Lord neither gets manifest nor annihilated. And that is the supreme destination. And having attained this, one never returns. One can reach there by unalloyed devotion. Although he is in his abode, he is all pervading and everything is situated within him. And in this section, Krishna talks about, tells us more about the supremacy of devotional service. And he emphasizes the devotional service, and he says, this is the, like I mentioned before, this is the only path, sure path to get back into Godhead. And again, he brings the contrast. He says, there are two paths of passing away. A yogi who passes away, two paths of pass away. One is when a yogi passes away in the day. One is when he passes away in the night. So when he passes away in the day, in an auspicious moment during the fortnight of waxing moon, or during the 6 months when the sun travels in the north, he attains Brahman. A yogi who passes away from this world during the night, the fortnight of the waning moon, or 6 months when the sun travels in the south, reaches the moon planet, but again, after going there, he has to come back to the material world. And a Krishna conscious devotee can pass away at any time, anywhere. A devotee knows these two paths, but he never gets bewildered. He doesn't get bewildered because his attention is always on Krishna, and he is completely immersed in Krishna's love and bhakti. So he doesn't care about all these two things and doesn't unnecessarily waste time figuring out if I have to die in the morning. Nobody can control when somebody is going to die. So he is constantly, his complete faith and complete surrender to the Lord, and he is not worried about any of these things. And is not actually Krishna says that even though he is doesn't have to be compulsorily studying the Vedas, performing sacrifices, undergoing austerities, doing all these things which is prescribed in the Karma Kanda of the Veda portion, which a yogi does, and a devotee doesn't have to do all that, but in spite of all that, with devotional service, he gets the result of all this, and he gets into the lotus feet of the Lord. He goes back to Godhead. And This one was the verse number 28. So this is kind of a culmination of the chapter, and it says it kind of emphasizes the devotional service. So the verse 28 is quite important. It's actually the summary of chapter 7, and also Prabhupada says it's a summary of chapter 7 and also chapter 8 put together, because chapter 7 is the starting of the devotional service, right, in the bhakti yoga. So the verse 28 kind of puts those two together. So 28 basically says, basically this whole chapter is concentrating on how there is only one path of devotional service and complete surrender and complete faith in the Lord and a sure way to get back to our origin, our Godhead. So this is an important chapter. And these are some of the stages in bhakti through which following this, this is the progression devotee makes in his bhakti path, in his bhakti. And he starts from a shraddha, and which he has a faith, a little bit of faith, and then kind of goes in and gets the sangha of all the sadhus, sanghas of all the other devotees, and then he gets into the devotional practice, starts the gets initiation and starts the bhajana kriya, starts the devotional practice. And once the devotional practice and doing the japa and everything gets little bit kind of rooted, then anartha nivritti happens, a kind of detachment from the material thing and getting more. After that, the nishtha, the complete faith comes. And then the ruchi, the taste of it, and then asakti is some more ruchi, into a deep ruchi, and then the bhava, the love, and ultimate love is the prema, is a complete pure love for the Lord. And by following the stages, and actually you start from shraddha, and after that he takes. So it's his job to take us. Shraddha also, only by his grace we'll get the shraddha. Everything happens by his grace. So with his grace, everything happens with his grace.
What are some of your application points or realizations, Mataji, from your chapter?
From this chapter, like, I feel that this is the only way, devotional service, whatever, because here Krishna beautifully, he says there are other paths, but just doing, even if person is doing the other path, without devotion, he cannot go anywhere. We can see even in our mundane things, when we are doing, like, if you don't have devotion to that thing, we cannot progress. Even if I'm taking, suppose I'm learning something, music or something, without devotion, I'll not go anywhere. If for small, these things are like that, and so for going back to Godhead, and that really needs devotion, right? And the devotion and one-pointedness, steadfastness, everything. And I feel our effort is only so much. Even our effort, I don't know, it's all because of His grace only, the effort also happens. Throughout my life, I've seen that, and after, like, now doing this thing and coming to this bhakti portion of it. Because while growing up and even before, I've studied Bhagavad Gita, always had the interest to study a little bit of it. Always came up to chapter 6, because even the other day we were talking, came up to chapter 6, somehow never got beyond that. So this one, like, hugging about the Lord and just complete surrender. It feels that your weight is off your heart. It's like you don't feel that you have to do everything, and just the feeling of I have to do this, I have to do that, I have to do that all the time in the mind, that itself pulls the person down. So here, even in this material world, so to go there, obviously, we have to just pray. When we do the mantra and all, it's only prayer for His mercy. We can only ask for His mercy, and just wait.
So, how did you feel about preparing for this? Anything you want to share? Like
this one,
especially summary.
I felt this is, like I said, is a beautiful chapter, and what I, the way I was, I like to do everything before, so I try to do it before, but then I like to go into the mood of it completely. Anything I do, I like to just go into it, get completely immersed in it, and try to get it from my heart. So here I was depending on the notes, that's why he said no notes for you, just come. I'm like, okay, let me put the notes, okay, let me, it's just, no notes. So it has to come from my heart. I cannot read whatever is there. I cannot do that. It has to come from my heart. So I feel that any presentation anybody does is like, if it comes from our heart, people will, and everybody will go through it. The message will get across if it comes from the heart.
Thank you.